They galloped across the land on black desert chargers, 50 warriors following Jardir and Ashan on their white stallions. Trailing behind, but keeping them in sight, if barely, came Aban on his long-legged camel. They were forced to stop several times to allow him to catch up, usually by a stream where they could water the horses. Such things were almost commonplace in the Greenlands, something that never ceased to amaze the desert warriors. They encountered some Greenland refugees on the road, but these fled their path, and Jardir saw no gain in pursuing them. On foot and afraid to travel at night, there was little danger of them getting ahead and warning the Hollow, and none of them would dare attack the spears of the Deliverer. Even the Corlings at night shied from their path, for Jardir did not call halt when the sun set. Aban somehow managed to keep up in the night, though. He put his camel right in the center of the warriors, tolerating their jeers and spittle for the succor they offered. It was on such a night that they came upon the Hollow. They slowed their pace, and Jardir turned into the trees to follow the cacophony, his warriors following. Eventually, they came to the edge of a great swath of cleared land filled with the stumps of trees where the Chin fought their northern Alagai Sharak. Great fires blazed in trenches, and coupled with the constant flare of wards throughout the battlefield, the clearing was lit as if it were daylight and littered with dead Alagai. The fires and wards funneled demons into places where the northerners stood ready to cut them to pieces.
They've prepared the battlefield.
Unlike the Chin from Everon's Bounty, these northerners were tall and heavily muscled. The largest of them fought not with spear and shield, but with great warded axes and mattocks. The men were of a size with the wood demons and chopped at them like trees. The northerners fought well, but there were hundreds of wood demons coming at them. It seemed the Chin would be overwhelmed when they broke apart, clearing ground for a line of archers to scour the field. Jardir gaped to see the archers were clad in the long dresses the northern women favored, displaying their faces and half their breasts like harlots.
Their women join in Alagai Sharak!
Jardir looked closer at the battlefield and saw that even some of those fighting in close quarters were female. And there was a great giant even among these tall people who led every charge. He swung a great two-headed axe in one hand like a hatchet, and in the other he swung a machete as if it were a pocket knife. One of the northerners went down on one knee at the blow of an 8-foot-tall wood demon, and the giant tackled it away before it could land a killing blow. He lost his weapons in the tumble, but it made no difference as the Alagai leapt at him. With one hand, the giant stopped the demon short, grabbing it, and with the other, he landed a blow that flared with magic and sent the Alagai reeling. Jardir saw he wore heavy gloves banded with warded metal. The giant gave the wood demon no time to recover, falling on it and pummeling it about the head until he was covered in ichor and the demon lay still. Another demon approached, but a slender boy with bright red hair and pale skin, dressed like a kafit in a patchwork of bright color, stood before it and put up an instrument of some sort.
Evram's beard! What magic does that one carry?
We must find out.
Allow me to kill the giant and bring the boy to you, Deliverer.
Hasika's eyes took on the mad light they always did before battle.
Do nothing. We are here to learn, not fight.
Suddenly, two other figures caught Jardir's eye. One was clearly a woman, carrying no weapon, only a small basket. The other was much larger and dressed like a man, but carried a bow like the northern women. Her face was demon-scarred. Both were clad in fine cloaks embroidered with hundreds of wards, and they wandered through the carnage unmolested by Alagai and given a respectful berth by the other northerners.
They are unseen to the Alagai, as if they were wearing the cloak of Kaji.
A demon clawed through the chest of a man. The cloaked woman hurried to the man, the taller one putting an arrow in the demon as the slender one knelt by the man's side. She pulled back her hood, and Jardir saw her face. She was even more beautiful than an Evera, her skin white like cream, a sharp contrast with her hair, black like the armor of a rock demon. The woman tore the man's shirt, tending his wound while her female bodyguard stood watch over her, shooting any Alagai that dared draw close.
Some sort of northern Damating?
A heathen parody of one, perhaps.
After a moment, the beautiful woman gave a command to her bodyguard, who slung her bow across her shoulders and lifted the wounded man in her arms. The way back out was blocked by a group of Alagai, but the northern Damating reached into her pouch and removed an object. Fire appeared in her hand, setting spark to it, and she drew back her arm and threw.
heathen perhaps, but these northerners are not without power.
The men must be cowards, worse than Kafit, to depend on women for their rescue. I would rather die on the field.
No, Shanjat. The cowards are us, hiding here in the shadows while Chin fight Alagai Sharak.
They are our enemies.
Perhaps by day, but all men are brothers in the night.
Jardir put up his night veil and lifted his spear. Yeah!
Krasians!
Rojo looked up in surprise. Dozens of black-clad Krasian warriors were charging into the clearing, brandishing spears. His blood went cold, and the bow slipped from his fiddle. A demon almost killed him in that moment, but Garrod cut the arm that swiped at him clean off with his machete.
Eyes on the demons! Krasians ain't gonna fight if we let the Korans do the work for them!
But it quickly became apparent that the Krasians had no intention of attacking the Hollowers. Led by a man with a white turban and a warded spear that looked as if it was made entirely of polished silver, they fell upon the wood demons like a pack of wolves breaking into a chicken coop, killing with practiced efficiency. Roger and the others had assumed the scouring would take all night and planned for reserves of fighters to be brought in as needed and much of Leisha's flamework used. With the Krasians fighting, the battle was over in minutes. Krasian and Greenlander alike stood frozen when the last demon fell, staring at one another in shock.